From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on Spotify, a music streaming service from 2013 to 2015. A cellist and composer, Zoe Keating, had her music streamed 1.5 million times in those 2 years. And to an outsider, that looks like not only a massive success, but probably a lucrative one as well. Keating decided to release the numbers to demonstrate how much money artists make from streaming services like Spotify. Care to guess how much money she was paid for those 1.5 million streams? The answer? Roughly $1,500. That's it. Now, Spin Diddy Online recently looked at the latest streaming statistics and posed a question in the headline of their article. Why do so many musicians hate Spotify? One answer, of course, is the very low rate of pay per stream. Another is that big labels tend to have an advantage over indie producers because Spotify pays labels to license some music, but not most. So the rate of return is not the same for all artists. And that has reignited a question. Should we maybe not stream music this way? Should we feel bad about that? Are we hurting artists? Spotify accounts for roughly 2/3 of music streaming, but there are plenty of others. And some pay better than Spotify, but none pay anything close to a level that would sustain an artist's career. Zoe Keating explained on Twitter, she's fortunate to make money in many other ways, but streaming accounts for almost nothing. So let's talk about it, and I am prepared to be surprised with our artists in studio. We got a great panel this hour. Hello to Danielle Ponder, lead singer of Danielle Ponder and the Tomorrow People. Danielle, welcome back to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Shy the Realist is here. Shy, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Aaron Rizzo is here. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
John Lewis is here, also known as Mr. Loops.
Hello.
I told you I was going to say Mr.
Loops.
You
did it. That's great.
Welcome to you, John.
Thank you.
On the line with us is Neil Harris, who's the president of Punk Defunk. Neil, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we've got a lot to talk about. I'm just going to start with where the artists stand on this. And I was surprised taking a little pre-poll before the show because I thought everybody was going to jump on here and kind of echo what I've been reading in Spin Diddy and other places, which is that, you know, we should shut down Spotify. Don't do it anymore. But Danielle, you did not say that. How do you feel about Spotify?
So I think one of the distinctions, the artist that you mentioned, she had a million streams, right?
1.5 million, yep.
So the artists at this table, we're at the beginnings of our careers, right? So we're not getting that many streams to begin with. If I had a million streams and I got $1,500, maybe I would feel differently. But the fact is Spotify for me is just it helps me to gain new followers, right? So people in Chicago or in Bangladesh who are listening to Spotify, my music might come up. So someone who has millions of streams may not need it for the same reasons I need it. Mm-hmm. So I don't really see, for example, I'm just looking at January. I had 1,283 streams, which is not a lot, and I made $6. I don't even think about Spotify.
Six bucks.
You know, and I went out and took that $6 and bought me.
It's a big night.
A big night. But I don't see Spotify as a tool for me to make big money. I think of my merch table. Yes. I think of events that I can throw. Mm. I see Spotify as a way to get new listeners and new followers.
Okay. And so one of the questions I want to pose as we go throughout this hour is sort of the ethics of the listener. And this matters to me, listening to your voices, because you're the ones most directly impacted and we want to support artists. So I was prepared for you guys to come in here and tell me today, look, the fact that I made $6 in January for more than 1,000 streams tells you that, you know, we're not making much money here, and we've got to go back to an old school approach. We've got to buy direct albums in some way. We have to go to live shows, and we'll talk about that. I'm sure you all want people to go see live shows. That's another great idea. But if what you're saying is there's a net gain from Spotify,
yes.
I'm open to it. I guess I'm a little surprised. Shy, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm brand new, like really brand new, to actually getting streams.
Yep.
But how I feel, honestly, is it's a platform for me. It's somewhere that I can actually go when I am performing or when I'm walking down the street and somebody's like, hey, you do music? Where can I find your stuff? I can say Spotify. I can honestly say it's something that's easily accessible to everybody else versus some people don't like SoundCloud. You know, some people don't have the SoundCloud app, or it's somewhere that I can have people go and I am making some kind of revenue. So I haven't really experienced getting a check or anything. I actually got my first royalty thing, which is $10. And I was like, oh my God, I woke up. My checking account was negative.
$10?
Right. My checking account was negative. And my savings account had $10, I was like, oh my God, dinner, you know? So it made me feel, you know, happy. And that just happened last week, you know? So I'm very new to it. But I honestly don't, I do wish that we did get paid a little bit more, yes. But even in the terms of album sales, artists don't even really make a lot of money off of album sales to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, so really, how can I feel upset about getting $10 for, you know, my streaming when honestly that's one song that's probably getting that streaming? You know, it could only be one song that is getting streamed the most. You know, so I'm not really, I'm impartial.
Okay.
Impartial.
John, how do you feel?
Yes. I definitely echo a lot of the sentiments that we're saying. I think it's a kind of a matter of perspective when you're dealing with something like Spotify. I don't get a lot of streams at all, and I have like 7 albums that are on Spotify right now. I do children's music, and that immediately got thousands more streams than any of my own music did. But I look at it as just one small piece of a larger puzzle when I'm making music, which I do full time. You can't rely on, especially something like Spotify. That's more of like an adaptable, like right now thing. It's like, okay, so I can use Spotify. People can hear my music that way. But the real way, if I'm going to make a living doing this, is performing, maybe creating something that's sort of different in the terms of merchandise. That way people can really start to affiliate you with what you're creating. And that's how you gain a following. And that's really the only way to, like, I guess, succeed.
Mm. Aaron, what do you think?
So it's interesting because it's almost become a sensitive topic for artists to talk about this kind of thing. And I think it's a reality that artists are going to need to come to terms with, just like how Napster was kind of introduced in the early 2000s. And I think it's less about the revenue than it is about the skip button.
Yeah.
And how that's become a huge thing, because you go back to the times of vinyl records and cassette tapes, and skipping was an effort.
Yeah.
You know, on a vinyl record, you had to lift the needle, drop it in between the groove. You know, you can mess up.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I don't need to hear the intro, whatever. But, you know, everyone here knows that your song needs to be played on Spotify for 30 seconds to get a stream. And the reality is that has changed the way people write music.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You hear stuff on the radio, the chorus, 15 seconds into the song, the chorus hits. So it hooks people. But for me, I don't think it's something that we can fight anymore. And I think that our audience is 50,000 times smarter than we're ever going to be. So we need to stop fighting what they want and what's easy for them, and just come to terms with it. And at the end of the day, we're just sharing music. As long as people are hearing music, it should never be about the revenue, anything like that.
Okay. I don't want to disagree with a person who's actually doing it. But, you know, I remember when I was in college and Napster was new on the scene, I remember going, oh my gosh, I never have to pay for music again. And then like 6 months later, my roommate's like, literally the FBI is going to come to our house if we keep doing this. You know, like there are all kinds of wild stories about they're going to shut down Napster. And if you have Napster, they're going to come after you. And I stopped doing it. But of course. And it should be. So what I'm saying, when I hear Aaron say, you know, look, it's about sharing music, it's not necessarily about the revenue. What I'm saying is now, as a much more, I think, well-rounded human than being an idiot college student, I want to support artists. And I'm willing to pay to support artists. I want to go to Neil in a second. Daniel, you want to jump on that point? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, it is about the revenue. But it's about figuring out what your revenue stream is. I sell more t-shirts than I sell, you know, CDs on iTunes.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I just have to be really smart about what revenue streams are actually going to result in capital. And it's not streaming, but it's t-shirts and buttons and all those types of things.
Yeah. All right, so let's bring in Neil Harris, president of Punk Defunk, and how you feel from an industry perspective on streaming services like Spotify. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, obviously I do business with them every day. I'm happy that they're there. I sort of echo everybody's sentiments about it being a distribution platform. For your question about how can you support artists in this sort of ecosystem, artists get paid a lot more per stream if somebody is a subscriber and pays to Spotify than if they listen to it on the ad platform. It's like 6 times as much. So buy a Spotify subscription. You're helping artists, because if you listen to them when you're a subscriber, paid subscriber, they get more money. And Apple pays more money than Spotify per stream.
Yeah.
So, no, if you want to really, you know, help an artist, they pay more. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, that's really how, if you want to have the convenience of Spotify but also want to support an artist, that's a simple way for you to do it.
So, Neil, you mentioned Apple Music. So is there a single streaming service that does stand above the rest? Is that them or something else?
No, I mean, it seems like Spotify is rapidly becoming the brand in this sort of world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Apple Music, some of my releases do just as well on Apple as they do on Spotify. And because they pay more money per stream, I actually make more money off them, you know. And in Europe, there's Deezer and other people like that. And other, you know, in Asia, they're huge, you know, things like Tencent and, you know, Chinese streaming services. There's loads of the, you know, other brands around the world, but Spotify is the market leader.
Okay, so I think Neil's point there is if you're going to use Spotify, at least get a Spotify subscription. That'll help. Mm-hmm. That's a good place mm-hmm. to start. And everyone's agreeing with that. And I think this will be instructive, and Danielle, you can share as much or as little as you like, but let me ask you this then, because I know, you're getting ready to go on tour again. Are you going overseas again?
Yes.
Wait, where are you going?
Europe, so five yes. countries.
Another European tour, mm-hmm. and you got a lot. I know you got a lot planned coming up here. So, what I guess I want to ask you is this: I don't want to ask you what you make or what you want to make in music. Everybody wants to make as much as you can, but what in a year, what you think that revenue, how it might break down? Like 50% would be live shows, or 25%, or 75% versus merchandise versus streaming or actual album sales? I mean, do you have a sense in your mind how it breaks down?
I can't say percentage-wise, but I would say the majority of the money is coming from live shows and then merchandise. But I have also found other ways of, you know, we do galas sometimes, so that's still live shows. But we kind of branch out and we may do things that we typical bands don't do. Like we just did the Greater Rochester Area Woman Attorneys Gala, mm-hmm. But merchandise. And I've done speaking engagements, so I just try to think of multiple streams of income all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. But the majority, or at least the plurality, is going to be live performance.
And merchandise.
Then merch.
Yes.
Not even the actual music that you create.
No.
But interestingly, on the subject of whether it's justice or injustice, you know, the artists were sort of reminding me before the program began that you may not like the lack of revenue that streaming services like Spotify provide, but there have always been bad deals and artists getting screwed.
Yeah. That's the truth.
I mean, it's like
it's
a great
a
history in the American
truth,
music
right?
industry. Yeah.
Artists have always made their money from touring, not mm-hmm. from their actual the album sales, because yeah. before Spotify, it was the record company, yeah. right? Because in order to get your CD into a Best Buy, into a whatever, you had to have a record company. Right. And then there was this time, this really sweet period where artists didn't need a record company. We could just upload, and then boom, Spotify comes in. And now we're kind of back, I guess, in many ways, to the same place. But for new artists, I think Spotify is so important. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of giving their exposing their listeners to new artists. I have artists that I love. I've never seen them perform live, mm-hmm. but I've heard them on Spotify, and I've, you know, played their song thousands of times for 10 cents. Hmm.
And by the way, Neil Harris, do you think that's a fair description of the American music industry, that even pre-streaming services, there were a lot of bad deals for artists out there?
Yeah, I actually think it's better now in a lot of ways. You know, like in the past, you would get an advance, and then unless you were really successful, if you sold a couple million records, you made a lot of money on recording. But if you didn't, chances are you saw that advance, and that was basically all you ever saw, right? Like, and these days, if you own your own masters, I mean, most of my artists that I work with own their own masters. And, you know, the Spotify check is, you know, $3,000 to $10,000 a month, which is, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, that we wouldn't have that if we were in a record deal. You know what I mean? So it's not... it's a good thing. And, you know, people who have catalogs, there's an artist that I managed for 10 years, and I have a interest in one of their catalog, and, you know, it's, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 a month just comes in, and they're not even active. They're not touring. They're not putting out records, but they have this catalog of music, a couple of songs that were quite successful. It's a great thing for them. You know what I mean? And we never would have gotten that. They would have never gotten that kind of check if they were in a record deal.
All right, so listeners, I see the phone starting to ring, and if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Or if you're calling from Rochester, it's 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And want to mention as well, you can email the program, connections@WXXI.org, connections@WXXI.org. Let's see here. Is that Frank in Greece back on line one? Okay, let me grab Frank, who's been waiting, because I think he's got a message for Daniel Punder. Go ahead, Frank.
Hello, this is Frank from Greece. I just want to give a shout-out to Daniel Punder and all of the very smart, hardworking, well-educated people right here in the city of Rochester who do tremendous amounts of social work and social activism for guys like me. If it were not for you and, you know, Regional Center for Independent Living, right now I'd be homeless or worse. I just want to give you that shout out.
Wow, thank you so much, Frank. I appreciate that.
Wow. Frank, thank you. That's a beautiful sentiment. So here's what I want to do as we go throughout the hour. We're going to take your phone calls, and I want to hear from listeners on how you consume music, what you think about what you're hearing from the artists and the industry folks who are on the panel today, and what we can do to better support musical people in the music industry, because one thing they're telling us is maybe tamp down the hate for Spotify, but we need to turn the question on its head. What can we do to better support them? And we're going to give them a platform to let you know where they're performing next and where to find their music. We've got cuts from them, so it's only fair. They all came in here on a warm Friday in the hottest studio in the whole world.
Can I just add something real quick?
Yeah.
When you definitely should not tell an artist you're going to go on Spotify. When you're at their show and we're selling our CD, the worst thing you can say is, "Oh, I'll just get it on Spotify."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's completely different, because it's like you could buy it from me right here, right now.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just streaming it. So those are the times where I'm like, Spotify.
Yeah. it's old school to actually buy a physical copy of music.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But
especially with these
young kids. Undermines the artist to ask that question. It undermines their entire body of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about all the months and blood and sweat and tears you put in. Yeah. Putting into that record,
there,
and
yeah.
they'll go, "Oh, I'll just stream it."
Yeah,
okay. All right.
And even, sorry, one thing.
No, go ahead,
even the act of buying an album, like a lot of cars nowadays aren't even having CD players,
right?
But it's the act of the support,
you know,
to know that what you just said, that body, that's blood, sweat, and tears that was put into that body of work, and I know because I'm slaving trying to complete my first album right now, but. To just have it streamed when I'm putting all of this work into recording it, putting even more work into getting the duplications and distributing it, to have it just streamed on Spotify kind of is like a gut punch. It's like, okay, well, I'll just sit here with this stack of CDs that isn't generating any revenue while you pay me 10 cents for listening to the first 30 seconds of the album and then decide that you don't like it.
Well, maybe some people do it the other way around. Joe in Rochester, let me grab his call because Joe's going to explain how he uses streaming services. Go ahead, Joe.
Howdy. Well, I just want to let you know, when I'm sitting at my workbench, I typically play Pandora and just let it, you know, flow through songs that are songs that I like from artists that I like. And it plays all different types of things. And I had a couple artists come on that I've never heard of before. One was out of Wisconsin. I think they're a local band out of Wisconsin. And I enjoyed it so much that I immediately looked them up and found they had four albums. And I purchased four albums because I enjoyed listening to their music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So maybe do you view what Joe's saying as sometimes I have these collated lists, you know, that I don't know how they figure out how to create these lists. Or different ways of Spotify collecting this music, grabbing onto it, and then finding a way to put it in front of you. And he's saying, then I actually buy it once I hear it there. Is that hopeful? Is that something
definitely.
You think,
John?
That, that bridge gap, to bridge that gap, I think there's a generational thing there. I think that the older generation grew up with vinyl records and cassette tapes, so they appreciate, you know, opening a record and looking at the liner notes and just like really understanding how the record was made. And I don't want to say it's not dumbed down, but it's simpler. It's simpler now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think artists don't think that people care about that stuff anymore, which is personally when I buy a record, the first thing I do, I put it on and I take out the liner notes. Who played on this record? Oh, mm-hmm. that drummer played on this other record that I love. Mm. That's why I love this sound so much. Mm. So there's definitely a generational thing there, but as we all know, vinyl records are coming back.
Yeah.
In a way, so...
Didn't they outsell CDs last year? I think something so. Like that?
Yeah, but that, you know, that's...
That's...
See, people are not even getting new cars with CD It'll players change, anymore.
And I think as technology changes, it really puts like a light on like the difference between the polar opposites. So now that technology is changing so rapidly, there's a huge growing admiration for collecting vinyls. They're coming back. People really like the like tangible quality of going out and collecting something. There's more artwork typically associated with the vinyl too, so people can really get into that. And then on the other side, I see digital platforms as an awesome opportunity for discovering. I love using Shazam. If I'm out somewhere and I'm like, oh, this is cool, I Shazam something and then I can just click on it and then it's on a Spotify playlist. That's awesome. That's not a way of supporting the artist, but it's a way of discovering them, which is like the door opening to supporting somebody.
But if they come into town, you're probably going to go see their show.
Yeah, you'll go
see
their show and then all of a sudden you're in. I love that part about it.
All right, so let me grab some more phone calls, people with their own experiences and questions. And I think we got a Highsmith on the phone.
Yes.
Jim's on the phone.
Oh,
Jimmy
no.
Highsmith.
I feel like Jimmy's going to yell at us.
He was on my live. He was on my live.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say much love to my girl, Danielle Ponda. I'm so proud of Danielle Ponda. I met Danielle Ponda many, many years ago when she just started her music, and I'm so proud of everything she's done with her music.
Thank
now,
you.
Spotify. Not a fan of Spotify, but it's relevant. It's necessary. I just would like to see the digital download, digital streaming services have a more standard, fairer statutory royalty rate to the artist. Because I look at my royalties, I get it for 3 months, and it's embarrassing what I get paid from Spotify versus, say, iTunes or Amazon. I will say, any new artist, now make sure you're publishing an order, get with BMI, get with ASCAP, because the royalty rates change from country to country. So make sure you're getting paid your fair share of money for your hard work you've done. And like Danielle said, the best thing you can do to support an artist, buy merchandise, buy CDs, buy T-shirts. I mean, I have so many CDs out in my library. I make good money in my digital downloads. But by far, concert sales are great when I have CDs to sell and T-shirts to sell as well. And I printed vinyl on my last album, which sold out, actually. So for the jazz world, they like vinyl still. So that's a key thing for me as well. But like Daniel said, again, support the artist by going and buying the merchandise, going to the concert, buying tickets for the shows, etc. And again, Spotify is great as a way to expose artists to people who may not know who they are normally, because they're from a different city. But again, I just tell our artists, get your publishing order, get with BMI, get with ASCAP, and do your research so you're paid fairly, or at least as fair as you can possibly be paid for your work you've done. And that's all I want to say, guys. Have a great day, and thank you for the conversation and what you get to watch the music scene.
Jimmy, thank you. It's always good to hear from a Highsmith. Jimmy and Lou, but on the music side, Jimmy. So,
Mama Lou.
So thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. So let's do this. Listeners, I know you want to continue with questions or comments. A lot of questions on sort of how this works, and what we're going to do in our second half hour is we'll continue to kind of plow through those questions on how does it work, how do they get paid, you know, and then their thoughts on what else we can do to support them. They'll tell you what they got coming up. So we've got a lot of great guests here as we talk about music streaming and how we consume music in a way that can still support artists who want to make a living. In studio, we have Danielle Ponda from Danielle Ponda and the Tomorrow People, John Lewis, Aaron Rizzo, Shy the Realist, Neil Harris on the line with us, the president of Punk Defunk, and we're right back to your phone calls next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the Next Connections, some feminists argue that you can't be a feminist if you don't support abortion rights. But a group of pro-life feminists, in their words, say you certainly can. We're going to talk about the abortion divide in feminism first hour. Second hour, Tom Nichols is the author of a book called The Death of Expertise. He joins us to talk about why so many Americans don't trust the experts anymore. We'll talk with you Monday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we continue with our conversation here, let me welcome Randy Gorbman here, who's just here to tell you that we are in the afternoon of the last day of our spring membership campaign. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Evan. A great topic here, talking about, of course, music rights and Spotify. And I can tell you, whatever investment you're talking about, I know they're having some difficulty for the artists with some of the services like Spotify. Your investment in WXXI is very worthwhile because really what you hear is this kind of programming every day with Connections. We heard from a political candidate last hour talking about arts and cultural topics this afternoon, and of course just a wide variety of reporting and also some investigative reporting you've heard here on Connections throughout the year. And that all takes money, both in terms of staff, resources. We're asking for your help during one of our few pledge drives during the year. Give a call, whatever you can give, $5, $10 a month, whatever you can do, 454-6300, 454-6300. It all wraps up tonight, but we need to make those numbers. We still have a ways to go. You can also do it online at WXXINews.org. Whatever you can give, it does go to a very not only worthy cause, but one that is invested in the kind of things that you want to hear about, and of course talking about the greater Rochester community. So thanks again for your support, and Evan, we look forward to hearing more of Connections.
All right, thank you very much, Randy Gorbman. Let me go ahead and ask our artists to kind of give you exactly what they think it would mean if you were supporting musicians intentionally. In other words, intentionally in a way that would allow them to not only have you enjoying their music, but supporting them if they want to make a living. And I'm going to go around the table, and we'll start with John Lewis. Go ahead, John.
I think, aside from streaming their music, because I know, aside from not getting paid very much for it, it certainly means a lot to me when I look, because I check a lot. I'm big on checking at numbers, and if I see somebody's like paying attention and listening, that definitely means a lot. Going to live shows, any of those more, as you might put it, old school tactics where you're showing person-to-person support, going out and showing up to events, buying merchandise, buying the physical albums on top of the streams. That shows a lot, as well as because it's a social media world, liking somebody's page, mm-hmm. following them on social media. That goes a long way, too, to showing an artist that they have support out there. There's some sort of tangible evidence that their creations are being consumed and enjoyed by people. That's really what will mean a lot to an artist and fuel their creative passions to continue to make things.
Okay, Aaron?
For me, it's about the live show, just because that's how I started as a musician. You know, I started playing in dive bars and anywhere that would have us. And just like Shai said earlier, streaming is great. If you're not going to go to the show or do anything, you might as well stream it. But at the show, when someone buys a physical copy, mm-hmm. that's a human-to-human connection right there. Yes. Like, I want to meet the people who are listening to my stuff. Yep. I don't want them to just be another number on Spotify, you know, because you can't have that disconnect between artists and the fans. You got to, you know, it's them above you at yes. the end of the day. Yes. You know, yeah. they're the reason we do what we do, and we're so lucky that we have that, but it's really the live show and meeting people and just like gaining people into your family. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what it's all about.
Okay. Shai?
For me, yes, you know, of course, supporting by buying my projects and my merchandise. But really what I appreciate the most is the word of mouth. The same way that I am with my favorite artists, when J. Cole dropped his album, I'm telling everybody who might not have heard it, yo, did you hear KOD? Yo, did you hear KOD? Did you hear his new album? Did you hear that he's going on tour? That right there, because that is what actually expands the music community. No different than you going to your favorite restaurant or your favorite pair of shoes coming out or something that you want to be informative. And so when I hear people like, oh, yo, that's Shai the Realist. He's a rapper, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, yo, that's Shai the Realist. I got his music right here. And you're telling other people, or most importantly on social media, not being afraid to share my music with other mm-hmm. people, not being afraid to put other people on. A lot of people in the younger generation, as an educator, I've seen this. A lot of people associated with being a fanboy, any kind of negative connotation with supporting people. I have students that have one student who knows my lyrics, which I didn't know what to do. I froze. I was like, what? Wait, what? I'm not even going to get into the fact that you said the curse words, but you know my lyrics.
So I support it.
Yeah. but it's, you know, other kids would look at him like, oh, why you want his da-da-da-da-da? Why you da-da-da-da-da? And it's like, no, it's the support. You know, I would, the same way that you watch your favorite athlete and your people are talking about, oh, did you see LeBron the other night? I want people to do the same thing with me.
Yeah.
You know, that it feels good. And it's something that also gets other people to discover me and want to discover me and just open up that kind of knocking down that barrier of lack of support. If you are willing to support me, then I know you're willing to support other artists. And that's the same thing with me. I'm putting other people on the artists all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anytime somebody asks me who's my favorite people in Rochester, I'm quick to name my favorite artist in Rochester or artists I feel like other people should know about. And I feel like that's what awesome. We need to do is strengthening the love in the artistry.
As artists, not just as listeners, but as artists.
Exactly.
We've got to take that ass back as well.
That's such a great point. By the way, I'm from Cleveland. Did you see LeBron last night?
I didn't see the game, but I've been hearing
it. Yeah, you should. And that thing
just
is,
like that. Exactly. See,
but LeBron doesn't need us to do that. Shy the Realist does. These artists, and I think Shy's point is so well taken. And I think, Danielle, back 20 years ago when my twin brother left school to pursue music, my father used to walk up to people and be like, give me $12. And they'd say, why? And he would say, give me $12. And they would do it, and he would say, here's a CD, put it in your car, and play it for everyone you know. Wow. And he was an evangelist. Well, now there's fewer people buying CDs. Yes. I know that's a little more old school, but what Shai's talking about is roughly the same thing. It's you're not just keeping music to yourself. You are sharing it with people. Yeah. Yeah. What do you want people to actually support?
I think all of the above, coming to concerts, really, you know, understanding that this is an expensive business to run. Understanding, first of all, that this is a business. And I really just want to make a PSA to all of the artists. Can we stop charging $5 to go to shows? Like, no one should be able to go to a show and pay only $5 to see a band. That's just way too low. Your keyboard costs $2,500. Mm-hmm. Your drum set costs $3,000. And you're charging people $5 at the door. We have to set a standard. But yes, going to concerts, buying merch. And sometimes at the merch table, people will actually say, you know what? Here's $40. Just give me a CD. Mm-hmm. Like people will donate money.
For sure.
People, I think, you know, if you really love an artist, say to an artist, I want to help you with your next tour coming up. How can I sponsor your tour? Mm. How can I sponsor one of your upcoming shows? Now, there's some of our friends listening who got a little bit more money than the average. So you might be able to take a local artist and I want to give you $1,000 towards your CD or whatever. And we have things like Kickstarter and GoFundMe. But what I do know is that if you ask, people will give, especially when they really do love your music. But I think as artists, we have to put more value on what we do. And we can't be afraid to ask.
Yeah. Mm, being afraid so to ask gets in the way because you're like, I don't know if anyone's going to come to my show. So we'll make it just $5. And
yeah.
It'll be okay.
We're so self-deprecating.
We are too self-deprecating.
Maybe a dollar if you could just, you know, show up.
But getting out there and asking, you know, asking is what counts. And as an artist, it's sometimes I think the most important thing is to, like, after your show, for instance, go hang out with people who are there and make those connections. Truly, you know, make yourself approachable and be there with the people who like your music.
Yeah.
And then you can feel free to ask because people will really actually be invested in what you're creating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Neil Harris, you want to join that? What do you think people can do to support artists?
Yeah, well, to that last point, go to the merch booth after your show because you'll double your sales if you're in the merch booth selling it.
Always.
Yeah, always.
Always happens, even no matter how big the artist is. It's a great trick. And I would say, you know, word of mouth is really the currency, especially when artists are new. It's just like post links to the songs, post links to the videos, post links, tell everybody that you know that you love this person, drag them to a show if they're coming to your town. That's really, you know, that's what I want the most. You know what I mean?
All right. So in the spirit of transparency, then you should know before I take another phone call that, hey, John, do me a favor, hit the show music one time, will you? He's going to pull it. Just hit the show music for me. Because we wanted to choose music that was local. And we chose music from... This is a band called Rah Rah Riot. They went to Syracuse. They're from Geneva. They're from the Rochester Finger Lakes region. And they are really great people. And Barsook Records said, go ahead. You got the music. So the song is called Shadow Casting, and you ought to go out and buy it. You ought to buy the album. you ought to do that. And it's become sort of synonymous with the show, but it's local. We wanted to do that, but they were cool enough to say, yes, do that. And I don't say it enough. I don't say it enough. So Rah Rah Riot, the band, Barsook Records, thank you. Okay, anyway, you can take it out because people are going to think the show's over. Show's not over yet. But I just wanted to be upfront about that. Let me grab another phone call. This is Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Evan, and everybody. Steve Green here. And I'm curious about, you know, you're talking about Spotify and all that. And I use CD Baby for my distributor, and I get, when I get a check for it, it's like, or when it gets deposited, I get like $8, I get $10 from CD Baby. But then if I get from Spotify, it's like 50 hits of 0.01 cent. But like that. So do you guys know about CD Baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm just curious as why you wouldn't use those guys.
I don't know. CD, Jenny, you're using CD Baby, right?
Yeah, I just actually, since I started putting out music in 2014, I've been going through CD Baby. So I found it pretty helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the, when you choose, there's a few different ones to choose from. I use like Disc Makers and TuneCore, kind of a combination between the two. I found that just out of the sake of consistency, it's what I did at first, so I stuck with it, and it kind of keeps everything really organized. But I think they're all pretty close to each other in the terms of how they benefit you and all that kind of stuff. It's just a choice as to what you do and sticking with it, I think, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
TuneCore is great. I mean, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Neil. Yeah.
You know, TuneCore is like you pay them a fee, and your stuff's up there. They take no percentage, and especially, you know, I have an artist that's got, you know, hundreds of millions of streams on Spotify, and, you know, that they started out with nothing, just like everybody else, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And getting the no percentage on that kind of numbers is, it's great, you know, it actually does make the Spotify numbers look good, you know what I mean? Because there's no, you know, TuneCore,
Yeah.
All right, well, Steve, thank you. I want to read Tim's email, who wants to add a little perspective on the whole pays per streams thing with Spotify and streaming services. He says, the issue with streaming is that it's not compared enough to radio. Radio pays about 6 to 8 cents per play on the radio. Is that right, everybody? But roughly, do we know? I mean,
I have no clue.
Okay.
College radio doesn't pay me anything.
No, depends on if you write the songs.
Okay.
Like, if you write the songs, you get paid. If you don't write the songs, you don't get paid. In America. In other countries, you do get paid.
Okay, and so Tim says, if radio pays 6 to 8 cents per song, compare that to streaming. Streaming is on average 1 to 10 people listening. Radio might be 100,000 people listening, or even 1,000 or 10,000 to any single song played in a market. And with that math, 1 million people could hear your song on the radio, and you could make $8 because it was technically only played on the radio 100 times. Is that much better? The difference is that songs played on the radio in a big market can make millions of dollars because they're often played all over the country tens of millions of times, which means technically hundreds of millions of people are hearing it. So saying a musician, we mentioned Zoe Keating off the top of the hour, 1.5 million downloads off Spotify or 1.5 million streams and $1,500. Tim says, well, that musician should be compared to 1.5 million people hearing it on the radio, which is arguably only 10,000 plays or so, and would be $800. So not that much different than Spotify. Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's fair. Maybe that just shows musicians don't get paid enough to begin with. Maybe the money in music isn't enough in the creators of the music's hands everywhere. Maybe that's one of the lessons we're learning here. So let's be fair to the artists here. Let's support them fairly, and we're going to go around the table. I keep telling you this, but one day Danielle Ponder is going to be too big to do this show. Not yet, because she doesn't have the ego that she probably deserves. Can you let our audience know where they can see you next and what you're getting ready to do on the road? And then we're going to listen to a little bit of your music.
So we have a show tonight, actually, at Anthology. Doors open at 7:30. We still have tickets available. You can get tickets at the door, or you can get them on Anthology's website. And we would love to see you there. That's our last show before we go to Europe.
Okay, tonight what time?
7:30, doors open.
Okay. And by the way, what's it cost to get in tonight? Did you say $5?
It costs $20 at the door. Right. I don't got no other job, okay? So.
No, I'm glad to hear you not say $5 after the conversation we just had. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got the hits from Danielle. I mean, this is Three Word Revolution, but there's so many others. So we'll listen for a second. We'll come back and talk to Danielle about. I'm curious to know about touring versus writing, creating new, but let's listen a little bit if you haven't heard Three Word Revolution. You know what happens when people hear Daniel's music? It's exactly what Aaron Rizzo just did. You almost started laughing. You're like, I know the feeling. You're laughing because you're like, that talent is sitting in this room.
I'm like, what? Yes. You know what's funny? I had heard of Daniel before. My sister, we just saw Daniel Ponder. And I'm coming in here today, and you guys were talking like, Danielle's coming. And I'm like, who's Danielle? And just in my head, and she walks in, and then she sits down. And I mean, I had never seen you before. Mm. And you're like, all right, so we have Danielle Ponder here. And I'm like, what? So,
thank you. But,
and so, so first of all, how much writing of new are you up to these days versus getting ready to, you know, travel?
Well, I just left my job Tuesday. So I am definitely writing new music. We actually are going to premiere some new music tonight. But I do a lot of the behind the scenes myself and my keyboardist. We spend a lot of time being the manager and booking agent. So I'm definitely looking in the future to have someone take on that role so I can actually focus a little bit more on writing and doing what, you know, creating new music.
I guess I just want to ask you a question that is going to sound, you know, really sort of fanboy, but I don't care because this is an honest question. You should be a national or international star with your talent. And I'm wondering what it takes to get the industry to notice that. Is it just a matter of being on the right radar at the right time? You know, who are the gatekeepers these days? Because we're glad you're still in Rochester for a little while, I guess. But
well, I think one, I never fully focused on music full time. So being a lawyer and being a singer, it was really hard to hit the ground running. So that's what I'm doing now, is really giving it my all and hitting different cities. Definitely think the industry is great and necessary, but I also believe in creating your path until the industry folks arrive. So we did our own European tour. We were the booking agent. We're the tour manager. We made it happen ourselves. We're doing our own tours this summer. So I think no artist should just be waiting for Puff Daddy to retweet them. Like, just go out there and make it happen. And I really believe, without a shadow of a doubt, my mom would say, you got to know that you know. And I know that once I put my all into it and do the hard work, it'll get in front of the right person. So
it's DanielPondermusic.com. Is online.
And yes,
I guess you're on Spotify.
I'm on Spotify, iTunes. Yeah. But the best thing you could do is come tonight and buy a CD, okay?
All right, so I'm going to turn to John Lewis. And John Lewis is online at whoisjohnlewis.com,
which is right. That's my website.
I love that website.
It's I not only as a musician, I do film work and animation and with kids' music, and I do some documentary filmmaking as well. So I really wanted to try to encapsulate what it means to be so confusing. So Who Is John Lewis was the right answer for that, I think.
Let's listen to, and it's John, J-O-N, by the way.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Let's listen to Let It Slide, and we'll come back and talk to John about his work.
have you twisted my words into? I wanna revisit a thing or two. You were my favorite to confide in. Now where have you been? 'Cause I'm still fighting.
John Lewis, so where can people see you next?
I am playing with my band at the Lilac Festival, which is a week from today, May 11th, at 4 o'clock, which is super fun. I love Lilac Festival. And then we're having an album. We just finished recording and producing a full-length album in Los Angeles, and we're putting that out at Three Heads on May 18th.
Nice. Putting it out on Three Heads?
We're putting it out on Three at the Three Heads
Brewing
Beer Garden Arena. Yeah.
And that's 2 weeks from today?
That's 2 weeks from today.
That's coming.
Yep, that's coming up. Yeah.
All right, so what to you is the hardest part about breaking through in an industry that can be really tough?
It's a pretty ambiguous industry. I think that the most important thing, touching on what Danielle was saying, is if you really want to be prepared for a moment when somebody who might be able to take you to the next level hears your music, you have to have created some sort of foundation for yourself. And to do that, creating your own path is kind of the best solution. As an artist, you really have to ask yourself, what do I want of my music? What do I want my music to do? And what's going to make me feel like I've succeeded? So if that's literally just making the music, then just make the music. Try not to focus on too much more. Get your music heard. But if you continue to ask yourself that question every level that you go to, you'll continue to escalate in some manner or some respect. So making it, anytime I talk to somebody about making it, I try to steer them away from that sort of that notion, because it's never going to work for you that way. So if you're going to make something, first make it just to make it, and then ask yourself, exactly what do I want this song or this piece of art that I've created to do for me? Do I want a lot of people to hear it? How do I do that? Create a plan of attack always for what you want to do, because it's too ambiguous of a world out there. If you go and you just make something, you don't really have a plan for it, pretty much nothing is going to happen, or you'll feel frustrated a lot of the time. And if you want to get rid of that frustration, prepare to always have some sort of thing in your way, something that you're going to have to overcome, and then prepare yourself for the next that feeling once you feel like you've done that. Right. That's how you escalate yourself.
I was just thinking, I'm like, who is this guy? Who is John Lewis? You're like a philosopher.
Right, exactly.
Who is
this
John
is what
Lewis?
My children's music act is all like. I'm going to a Mr. Loop's show in an hour after this.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm not making more sound effects and stuff.
Who is johnlewis.com? All right, let's turn to Aaron Rizzo, AaronRizzoMusic.com. And we're going to listen to Where Your Lips Have Been, and then we'll talk to Aaron about where you can
premiere.
See. A world premiere.
Wow. This is brand new.
Here you go. Let's listen.
World premiere.
I'll replay the emotion I never thought you would throw away. My devotion to you. If I take my time, I will remain honest. But if I take my time, I'll never move on, no. I'm looking from the outside in, just wondering where your lips have been.
All right, it's AaronRizzoMusic.com. I love the mutual support among the artists.
Yeah, every time we're like, yeah.
Boy, you better sing.
Thank you.
All right, so where are they going to find you next?
So this Saturday, we are playing at the Funkin' Waffles in Syracuse. We are opening for the Barroom Philosophers, another amazing local band. I believe doors are at 9 and tickets are $10, not 5. and then after that, I'm kicking off. I'm going on my very first tour this summer.
Nice.
We're starting in Rochester May 23rd at Love and Cup.
That sounded tight.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's really good. AaronRizzoMusic.com. All right, Shy the Realist. This is Cognac Black. We'll listen to a little bit of Cognac. Mm. We think this one's clean for air, right?
Yeah.
We do. Let's listen to Cognac Black.
Shy, relish. If I catch you slipping, you gon' end up like the last guy. I've been the stretching, it's only passing gas. I pull up to the party, mad fly, they tryna smash. I they don't know I'm the undertaker. Come get this last ride, oh, cut the stupid. I'm about to get this stupid lit.
All right, so this is Cognac Black. Shad the Realist, I just got an email from someone saying they're looking up all the artists and they're having a hard, the hardest time to find it is you, but I know you said you're brand new to the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So where are people going to find you?
Well, a lot of people think that Shy the Realist is S-H-Y. So it's C-H-I-T-H-E-R-E-A-L-I-S-T. Play on words for one, because I am a realist among the optimists and pessimists, and I am from Chicago, Illinois. So
nice.
That's Chicago. Where my name comes in. That song is actually like very fun. It was fun to make. It's so
fun.
And it's so different. It's so different from everything that I've ever created because and one thing that I wanted to, you know, conquer this year, from as well as only really being known as a spoken word artist, I'm really only really known as a serious artist. Yes, I am a conscious artist, but I'm only really known for being a serious artist. So for my album that is the single of, I wanted to take a break from that and live and have fun, which is something that this year I started actually doing. I started living and not really being in my stresses a lot. You know, my music is so serious because I talk about my real life situations, my struggles, my depression, my mental illnesses, all of that. But this year I started to kind of break away from that. And yes, I'm still living in it, but I'm dealing with it in a different way other than sitting in my house. You know, I'm having fun. And so the album is called When We Party.
All right. So since I'm about to lose the hour, where can people find you?
You can find me on Shy the Realist on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. My website is being made as we speak. But I will definitely be having links to all of that on all of my social media.
So it's like we're on the inside of something brand new. And yeah, just like what Chai said earlier this hour, which I think is so important, if you have something that you love and that is local and that is new,
yeah,
don't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
It's a great way to support people. Really, really interesting and important stuff, because when we think about music consumption, there are artists trying to make a living, and we want to support them in different ways. And I want to thank Chai, Danielle, John, Aaron in studio. Thanks to all of you. Good luck with all of your careers, your travel, your music. And we'll stream it, but we're going to buy the albums. And our thanks to Neil Harris, president of Punk Defunk, on the phone with us. Thank you, Neil, as always. Great stuff. Our thanks to John Andrus, the engineer, Megan Mack, producer. It's the final day of our spring membership campaign. Hope you're already a member, because we want you to buy the record of WXXI as well. Same thing. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.